Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, just like to remind you to help us out a little bit. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then head on over to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@ComesNaturalPod.
Then after you do that, please go to iTunes, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast so it downloads automatically for you every week when it becomes available. And with that, we'll start proper. Cody.
Comes naturally, we are.
Mike.
And Cody. That big pause there was not because Mike has a wicked case of Taj. It's because Joseph is not here today. He's at home nursing his sickness and not getting us sick.
Yeah.
So we thank him, but also...
He's a huge Disturbed fan. He is.
He loves Disturbed so much that he got a sore throat. Mm. Just so he could have the sickness and be down with it.
Yeah,
Michael
just did a Disturbed joke.
Yeah, what's your what's going on in your wrestling minute?
All right, so this is still fresh and relevant, but I wasn't here last week, so I couldn't share this. But previous weeks leading up, we had talked about the return of Goldberg, and then we talked about the official match being made of Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. And so a week ago, we got the actual match, Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, main event of Survivor Series. So lots of rumors going around that Goldberg got hurt during training and the match was going to be off.
Oh,
like
no.
all the internet rumors were going rampant. But, you know, Brock Lesnar gets to the ring and he's sitting there waiting, and then Goldberg music hits. And I was actually kind of I was curious to see what the reaction for Goldberg was going to be. Because there's like, hey, you know, he was our favorite wrestler. Like, we're going to cheer for him. Or is it like, this is bullshit. Why are you bringing old people back and kind of shit on them? So I was real curious to see what the crowd reaction was. The crowd reaction was actually really, really pro Goldberg. They were really excited. They're up in Canada. They're super excited to see Goldberg, eh? And so they gave us Goldberg, and they gave us the full Goldberg fucking shtick, man. Like, he didn't just walk through. It started with the backstage cam of a security guards knocking on the door. Then Goldberg opening up the dressing room door and walking from his dressing room to the entrance, and then cut into where you would normally see the wrestlers come out. That's the old WCW, like that's how Goldberg used to get, you know, into the ring. It was like a cool, unique way because no one else was getting that view. So he comes down to the ring, looks fucking pretty good for an old timer, dude. Like, he's smaller, obviously, now, but he's still pretty fucking jacked up, dude. I was impressed with how good of shape he was in. He actually looks almost exactly the same, a little bit smaller, not quite as cut. And then, like, his goatee is just fully gray now. Like, that's the only difference is. And it's been 12 years since we've seen him wrestle. So, first thing that happens, the bell rings. They go, you know, middle of the ring, face to face, talking shit to each other. And Brock Lesnar is very Brock Lesnar-esque. Picks him up, double leg, throws him, like, basically runs with him, manhandles him into the corner, slams him into the corner. And then lets him go and kind of like just stares at him to like mad dog him. Exactly. And then Goldberg fucking just boom, throws him to the ground. Like, just punks him right on his ass. Goldberg, you know, Lesnar looks shocked. And crowd fucking loves it. You know, and Lesnar's looking around, like looking like he's embarrassed and shit. So as soon as he gets up, bam, Goldberg patented spear. Just right off the bat, one of his finishing moves, right off the top, dude, like 10 seconds into the match. And so the crowd's like, holy shit, you're like, we didn't expect that to happen. So Goldberg's walking around like a badass a little bit, and then he gets back into the corner, and he gets in his pose, his old school patent, you know, football stance pose, knees down, squatted down, and that's his, you know, I'm getting ready to spear you thing. So I'm like, oh, they're not going to let him land the second spear. Like, you know, he'll move, you know, because I'm thinking like a wrestling fan. I'm like, oh, that's not going to happen this early off. And as soon as Lesnar gets up, bam, another spear. Two spears in a row. Lesnar has zero offense. We're 37 seconds into the match at this point. Crowd goes fucking apeshit. Like, they're loving it. And so he looks around. Goldberg yells at the crowd, does his fucking crazy tongue-out scream thing where he flexes. Picks up Brock Lesnar, hosts him up over his head, hits him with his patented jackhammer, his second finishing move. So that was always, for those of you who didn't know Brock Lesnar, it was spear, jackhammer. Or Goldberg, yeah. It was spear, and then that would sometimes just end it. If not, it was spear, then the jackhammer, and that would definitely end it. Like, I think his whole run in WCW, like, three people total kicked out of the jackhammer. So, like, it's a very protected finishing move. So, spear, picks him up, jackhammers him, pins him, beats him. In, like, a minute 32, the shortest main event that I've ever seen in my life. And the internet lost its fucking mind. All these fucking wrestling nerds, and I say that lovingly because I am a huge wrestling nerd, but all these fucking wrestling nerds lost their shit, dude. Like, how fucking dare they fucking have a old timer come back and crush Brock Lesnar? And then they start going back, well, Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He defeated The Streak, and you build him up all this time just to have him get squashed by Goldberg. And, like, people are losing their fucking minds left and right. And I thought it was fantastic because me personally, I did not think that would happen. I knew it would be a short match because I wasn't expecting Goldberg to have the stamina to put on a fucking 37-minute fucking wrestling clinic like he used to be able to back in the day. I fucking loved it. I thought it was great because, again, wrestling, spoiler alert, it's fake. So what do you want out of wrestling? You want storylines. You want every match to be able to lead to something else. So now this basically thinking down the road, this has to lead to a rematch, probably at WrestleMania. And along the way, it's going to be a lot of fun because it was announced the next night on Raw that Goldberg decided he's, because of that, they did so well, you know, storyline wise, that he wants a shot at the title again. So easiest way to get a shot at the title, you enter the Royal Rumble and you win the Royal Rumble. So he announces he's in the Royal Rumble this year. Super cool, right? Brock Lesnar, the next week on Raw, so this past Monday night, he decides he took Goldberg lightly. And, of course, his manager is doing all the talking. They took Goldberg lightly. They didn't train for him. They give him props for his one sneak win, but they're going to fucking destroy him next time. And so the quickest way Brock Lesnar can get his hands on Goldberg, enter into the Royal Rumble. So the Royal Rumble, which is one of everybody's favorite pay-per-views anyway, now you have the added bonus to knowing at some point in the 30-man melee that is the Royal Rumble, we're going to have Goldberg, and then at another point we're going to have Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble. So it's going to make for a fun, fun time for wrestling fans. So that's my, what do we call it, wrestling moment. Because I'm going to hijack Joe's science moment because that's way longer than a minute. But that's what's happening, people.
Minute in this galaxy. Boom. Mike's wrestling minutes. And
Yes, sir.
Boom. Boom. That's not loud at all.
A little bit.
All right. First things first. We're going to talk some Star Wars news.
All right. Let's do it.
So by the time this hits the internet, we will be 2 weeks from Rogue One.
That's it. Just 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Not cool, bro. Just let me have it. I know it's done.
Yeah. At this point, this is the point where, like, you got to figure at some point in the future, like, when a movie's done, they're just going to let people have it, right?
Like, hey.
Oh, we finished ahead of schedule. There you go. We're good. Just surprise drop on iTunes. You guys can buy this shit now. Come on.
Bullshit.
Do it.
It's bullshit, I tell you. But anyways, tickets went on sale on Monday, this past Monday. Movie comes out in 2 weeks.
Right.
How excited are you?
I'm pretty pumped up, man. Like, growing up, I always liked Star Wars, you know, but I wasn't like this huge Star Wars fanboy. But something, and this has happened a few times in the past couple years, it's because I'm 29 now.
Old ass man.
I know, I had to think about it. So I'm 29 now, and now a lot of stuff from my childhood is coming back, a la Star Wars, even though it didn't really come out in my childhood. It was very present in my childhood. And so getting episode 7 was like this weird nostalgia hit in the gut that I wasn't fully expecting. But it was so, like, nice to see it again, you know? It was like a family member you like that you haven't seen in years, and they come back and they're still cool as fuck, you know? Like, that's what episode 7 felt like to me. And it's kind of just renewed, like, I'm more of a Star Wars fan now than I ever have been in the past, because, like, I know there's a future in it now, too, and I'm fully invested, fucking gearing up, ready to go. So I am super amped about Rogue One.
Ready? Yeah, for sure. I've been pestering everybody to figure out when we're going to go see it, and they still haven't got a solid answer from anybody, so that's fun.
2 weeks out is a long time.
Fuck you guys.
It's hard to plan 2 weeks out.
Nah. But on the topic of Star Wars news, Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One, was on Star Wars TV, which is their online video podcast thing they do. Share a little bit of he shared his personal Easter eggs that are found in the movie. And when I say by personal, these ones have to do with him and his career more than anything else within the Star Wars universe. So in the movie, Forrest Whitaker's character saw didn't say his last name here. I can't remember what it is. Doesn't matter. But it's Forrest Whitaker's character. His name's Saw something.
Like, he's going to be the one character when you watch this that you're never going to remember your name. You just be like, hey, remember Forrest Whitaker?
Remember Ghost Dog and Star Wars? Yeah. So he plays the mentor of Jyn Erso, Felicity Jones' character. He is the one that's responsible for her being the rebel she is. And also, I guess, from what I've read, is being the person who's not forced her, but coaxed her into taking on the Rogue One mission. Anyways, so what Gareth Edwards is talking about, and again, this is going to spoil anything for the movie, so don't like worry about it. This is just a little fun fact. Inside his cave, as they call it, which is a little hut they lives in, he has cave paintings all over the walls. And in there are the monsters from his very first movie, Monsters, and Mudos from Godzilla are found on the painting on the walls. He says you're visibly seen in the movie.
Dope.
Yeah. He said he didn't ask for it, he didn't plan for it, but he was using a lot of his team from his last from Godzilla on this one, as most big directors do. Say big directors is third movie in. You know.
Well, if you, when you get the Star Wars nod, you're a big director. Yeah. Like that automatically shoots you up to the
exactly.
list.
Exactly. And then, so basically, he came in one day, looked at the set, and boom, he noticed, like, these were on there, and his art director was like, okay. So that's pretty cool. I thought that was pretty fun. He said there's a lot of other things to watch
means,
for,
right?
But,
like, Godzilla exists in the universe of Star Wars.
And it might. Good.
So that means that, theoretically,
if they find Earth,
we could have Jedis versus Godzilla.
It's true.
But
theoretically.
We can get there. Give it 30 years.
Boom.
But Disney, we can get there.
Disney needs a lot of ideas, so just let it go and be like, yo, hey, you know, what I'm saying is like, you know, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was a pretty fun little story to add on to there. Other fun stuff. So the evil, ugly head of the Rampage movie has come to light again. So if you guys don't know what the Rampage is, based on an old arcade video game where you played
Button Smasher, man.
Basically, one of three monsters that basically run a rampage in towns, and you had to destroy buildings and planes and shit like that.
You can do like bonus points for eating the people in the windows.
Yeah. You punch in and grab them. So that's being made into a movie. And the director has come out to say that there's three monsters, just like the original game. There's the lizard, the ape, and the wolf. He says...
Keeping the classics.
Yep, we're keeping it similar. So go, they go, basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing that he talks about, but as he goes through this whole thing, he talks about how they're actually going to make it more scary than it is anything else. So it's going to be a more traditional monster-ish movie in a way, but just with like big monsters, I'm guessing kind of Godzilla style. He doesn't really give away too much about the story, but he does say it's a monster film. So it's not... Like, Godzilla was a monster movie, like a monster film, but it had a lot of human aspects to it. He's saying in this that there's less of that than
The one complaint I heard frequently about Godzilla was not enough Godzilla, which I thought was horseshit. I loved Godzilla, and I think it was just the right amount to keep you wanting to see more. You know, you don't want to overdo it. Like, there's like, you know, there wasn't that much Hulk in the Avengers, but when he was there, it was special, you know? But yeah, so if they go full on, like, this is a monster movie, that probably signifies that we're seeing a lot of fucking giant lizards and apes and fucking wolves. So that's pretty dope. Is The Rock still attached? I know at one point The Rock was attached to that.
He is still currently attached to do it.
I know that shit changes all the time, but that was...
Especially how long this one's been taking. So Brad Peyton, who's directing the movie...
It's definitely going to be The Rock then.
Yeah.
That, those two are boys. Like, they do all those movies together.
Yeah, so his newest movie he's doing is out, which is from the producers of Saw, called Incarnate. He's doing press for that right now. But in this quote, I thought was an interesting way of putting it, which is kind of... I like this thought process, and when I say this quote, you'll understand what I mean by this. So he says in it, if they called me tomorrow to do a Call of Duty movie... I wouldn't want to play any of the games ahead of time. I'd like to do something that made it deserve to being its own thing. So he likes the fact that he likes the world that it's in, but he doesn't want to just make what you've seen already, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
But also I hope that doesn't mean he's not going to make true to the characters and the way that that world's built, because like that's like saying you want to make a Star Wars movie, but you don't want to have blasters, space fights, robots, aliens, or, you know, dudes in armor.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I hear the quote, Nate, but for, like, Rampage, it's not like there's this ridiculous
lore,
you know,
behind
backstory
it,
to it or anything. It's more of, like, people our age remember, yeah, I used to play that game. You know what I mean? Like, was there ever at any point, like, a storyline to it?
No, because the only real story, air quotes,
because it was nothing like Tetris, but Tetris-like in the way that you just basically try to beat your last high score.
Yep. Like, and then when you got defeated or killed, you dropped to the bottom, shrank into a human, and then ran off the screen naked.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing.
And that was just, like, a funny thing.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's like, that's not really a story. The story was you're a big monster and you want to kill buildings and stuff, and eat people, and then be better than the other ones. You know what I mean? So, it's interesting. Be interesting to see what they do with it. It's also weird that, I mean, to take a video game like Rampage and think you're going to do anything with it other than just using the name and the premise of having three different varied
and
monsters.
Give a good reason to re-release a Rampage video
game. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So,
but, I mean, you go to a scary movie with it. There's a lot of cool things you theoretically could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really the only thing you need to do to hold true to the game is, one, have the three characters, and two, show all three of them fucking up a city at one point, you know, for some stretch of time. So
exactly.
And then you're just like, hey, got everything from the game.
So, going to the next topic.
Yes.
This one's came as no big surprise, but also came as a big surprise. And it is Netflix... allowing downloads of series and films. Series and films. So, the number one requested feature, according to this article talking with Netflix, is people want to be able to take Netflix on the go. Obviously, you say, hey, Cody, that's dumb because it's an app you can get on your phone and your like a tablet. iPhone, Android, whatever, right? That's not what they mean. They want to be able to use it when they're offline on an airplane, when they're in hotels with shitty internet, road trip, you're in the middle of the desert, driving, you can't really just hook up the internet, and if you try to use a cell signal, it's never going to stream anything, or anything like that. So they're now letting people download stuff within the app. The best part about this is it does not cost you extra. It's available for all plans that use the streaming service. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah. That's surprising.
Yeah. So it's Netflix downloads was what it's called, are now available for all members worldwide, in addition to the ability to stream the series and films. So again, no extra cost. Anybody who has a streaming Netflix account can now do this on all their major devices. The update has officially gone through.
Oh, has it?
Yep. So the update went out starting yesterday. If details on how to get to it, go to your favorite movie or TV series on there. If it's, you know, again, this is only available for certain things because of copyright stuff from vendors. They expect it to be service wide, so anything that's available for streaming should be able to download. But all you do is you go to what you want, and if you scroll down on the page, next to you'll see the name of the episode or the name of the show. Instead of just seeing a play button, you'll see a download button, which is an arrow facing down with a line below it. And you just tap on it, and it says download to watch offline later. But when you first go into the app and you go to something new, it'll pop up saying, hey, this is a new feature. Would you like to try it out? Here you go. So many of your favorite streaming series and movies are already available for download, with more on the way, says the executive. There's plenty of content available for the times when you are offline. For example, Orange is the New Black, Narcos, and The Crown are available for download today. And like I said,
so that, like, the next Netflix exclusives.
It's Netflix exclusives right now are pretty much the ones going through right now. But they hope to get everything else going through through it no matter what. And it's available on all platforms that currently have Netflix streaming. It says here Android and iOS. If you are one of the few people that has a Windows device, there's no mention of that yet, but nobody really cares. So I don't even know.
No reason to switch your phone.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's a fun little, cool, shocking thing today. I think that's actually gonna boost membership on that too when people find out, because Netflix already draws people to them with stuff. You know, like they have the Marvel stuff, and they have Orange is the New Black and House of Cards and all that stuff like that. So it's interesting to see this as a thing, but it's cool to see that finally is something that's out and available too, which is pretty rad. Mm. So this is what mine's it looks like.
Yeah, mine's not showing that yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't updated my phone.
Find something to download. Click. I mean, I guess it's a section probably you can find too. Oh, did it jump? Wow. Is that stuff that's available to download? Because this shows like Flash and stuff. Let's see. Oh, shit. It is. Flash. So it's not just Netflix stuff.
My update is available now, so I'm updating as we speak.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, official, there's a lot more stuff than just the Netflix stuff, obviously. I'm just on here is a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of Netflix stuff, too. It just pops up, but there's a lot of things on here that aren't just Netflix.
Pretty dope.
So that's pretty rad. Obviously, you have to know what you want to watch, but if there's something you want, you just throw it on there.
Is there, like, a amount limit?
I don't know if they said if there was or not.
And I'm not expecting that to be a huge deal, but
I think it's more of just how much space you have on your phone or tablet. For those of who have, you know, 16 gigs or 32 gigs, you're going to run out of space pretty quickly.
Don't talk shit about my 32 gigs.
Oh my God, you have 32 gigs. That's so strange. I would have never known that.
Only
from Dusk to Dawn, the movie, downloadable.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's it's already available. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool, if you ask me. That's why we're bringing it up, because I thought it was a pretty... Anything. We've talked about Netflix on here, but
like that's a pretty big deal, and I didn't think they'd actually pull the trigger on something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
but it makes sense thinking about it. iTunes already kind of laid the groundwork with Apple Music. Like,
also, I mean, with Amazon, they've done it for a while. a lot, if you have Amazon Prime, there's a lot of stuff you can get and you can download to your device. But I think it's like you can only do so many at a time. But Netflix, well,
a shitload of stuff, like right off the bat.
Yeah, just boom, just a bunch. Like it's all, it looks like all the CW stuff was on there. There's a bunch of movies. Obviously, all the comedy stuff that Netflix has, but also some other stuff on there too. Like I saw, there was the popped up right away as the
Blacklist is on there. That's an NBC thing. Yeah. So that's.
But Donald Glover's Weirdo was on there to download. So, which is a fantastic comedy special. All if you've
old
seen
TV
it.
Shows.
Yeah, it's Frasier was on there. I saw. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting little
dope man. Dope
thing. Yeah, it's pretty rad. Pretty fucking rad, man. The world's changing, sir. World is changing. World is changing. Why? Yeah. Sorry for that technical difficulties we had there.
Yeah.
Something bad happened. It's all right. I won't bring it up. You know, things happen.
I'll just tell him because I came across something on my phone. I had to take a massive shit, so we had to pause the recording. So we paused it, and I'm bored on my phone, you know, taking like people do while you're taking a shit. And I come across the memories on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
And so November 28th, 2009, my aunt and uncle have a joint Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And they posted a picture of me, not from 2009, but from, like, high school. This is, like, sophomore year me.
Okay.
And I am a good looking young man. I had a full head of hair, a tan. I was in shape.
You look healthy.
Yeah. I peaked like as a sophomore. I peaked.
It's never good.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to peak when you're a sophomore.
This is depressing because like I should probably go back to the gym at some point and also call Jennifer and apologize to her for
fooling her.
For becoming this, because she knew me at that age, and this is not who I am anymore.
Rickrolled, sir.
Yeah. So anyway,
snake oil trick.
Yeah. So Facebook memories, either the cause of me getting back into shape or the cause of me killing myself. Either way, we don't know which direction it's
could
going.
Could be both.
Could be both. I could accidentally OD at the gym or something.
Yep, you could aneurysm yourself.
So, Netflix downloading is pretty dope.
Unlike what you did in my bathroom. On with the news. Now, since Mike decided to shit his brains out, next story up would be...
That shit is also the first step into getting back to that weight. So, it was a good first step.
Shit the weight off,
it was a good first step.
I am now 33 ounces lighter. Have you ever seen anybody?
I don't know why, but the fact you did it in ounces was so much funnier than pounds. It was
because
fantastic.
It was liquid.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. That joke was a shit. Yes. All right. Anyways, did you know they have toilets that can weigh your excrement?
Is it from fucking Japan? Because that's where they have all the weird toilets.
Yeah, they like when you shit, like it'll tell, like, it reads like your, it reads the poop and your pee and tells you if there's any like there's an imbalance or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be like, hey, less fucking meat, you fatty.
Yeah, and it's like, and
eat
it's
a
also
salad.
Like, it'll say how heavy the movement was. I was like, well, I don't need to know that.
Calling it the movement makes it sound more important.
Well, because it's a bowel movement.
Yeah, I know, but so. Just referring to it as the movement is, it's really pretty grandioso. They need to chill back on that. Like, I don't think anybody can refer to any type of shit as the movement.
The movement of your bowels. Because
then you're, like, insinuating there's been none other quite like it.
There might have not have been. I don't know. I wasn't in there, thank God.
Not that one. I've had ones. Where maybe could have been the movement.
You ever had one of those ones where you like late at night you're like, man, I think I have to poop, and you go in there, and all of a sudden like you wake up 2 hours later because you passed out because
your legs are asleep. Your legs are asleep. You can't move your feet, and you have to peel
yourself off. Yeah, you don't know why. You're like, you're worried that did I push? He's done. I just thought of the episode name, by the way. This episode's the shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Faux show.
But, like, I'm talking, like...
You guys have a Gatorade? I feel like I need to rehydrate. Oh, we do.
But, like, you don't know if it was from, like, passing out from strain or, like, you just got bored on the toilet. But you don't, because you're like, basically everything below your waist is, like, numb.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, I really hope. And you get up and there's nothing in the toilet. You're like, I really hope I flushed then passed out. Because otherwise something bad happens. Yeah. That's happened to me before. Anyways, back to the actual topics. This is a fun one. Mike and I were talking about before we started recording is... officially, the Lego Batman movie is finally allowing Tim Burton's Two-Face to be a thing.
Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams is officially Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
The biggest disappointment in Batman movie history leading up to
Schumacher.
I guess it wasn't that big of a deal then. Schumacher really shit the bed. But,
yeah, for sure.
But it was always one of those like, hey... What the fuck, man? Because we were excited. Like, you see...
Oh, my God, Billy D. Billy D. He's going to be Two-Face.
You wanted to see Billy D fucking go ape shit, man. Be crazy. And we're setting that up because, if you guys don't remember, OG Batman, Michael Keaton, Tim Burton, Jack Nicholson, very small role, but very obviously Harvey Dent.
Because they call him Harvey Dent.
Harvey Dent. Was played by Billy Dee. So every Batman fan knows, like, oh, shit, they got Billy Dee to play Harvey Dent.
Which means that Billy means Dee.
If we ever get a sequel, Billy Dee is going to be fucking Two-Face.
Yep.
Which is a dope ideal.
Yeah.
But never happened because part two, and I think we talked about it before, but what was the reasoning for not just pulling the trigger in part two?
They wanted to change the story up. They wanted
Catwoman, didn't they? Like, that was the thing that fucked it all up. But, like, why, like, ain't nobody love Danny DeVito more than me.
True.
We'll establish that right now.
You have a troll foot tattoo on your foot.
On my foot.
Yeah.
But what the fuck, why couldn't that second bad guy been Two-Face? You know what I mean? Like, it already had the built-in running for mayor thing. He was a lord, like, the political, it was all there. It was very easily fucking, you had to rewrite, like, 8 lines, and you could have fucking made it work. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true. Plus, you wouldn't have had the weird being grown up by circus people aspect that Tim Burton threw in there. But yeah, so Billy Dee is the Lego Batman movie's Two-Face.
Yeah. So,
Which makes me think. I would like to go back and watch the trailer and see if we can spot him because I don't remember ever seeing. I know the new trailer just has a cavalcade of like everybody like. Bane's
and
in there,
the party
like,
I think the press conference thing.
Yep, so it'll be interesting to see. Moving on, unless you have anything to say. Nope. So couple Marvel movie things. First up is pre-production for Avengers: Infinity War, which is the next Avengers movie.
Yeah,
which comes out in 2018.
Yeah.
May 4th, 2018.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely. We're literally like a year
we started
and a half away,
this in like 2006, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the third Avengers movie.
This is the longest relationship I've ever had with anything, by the way.
Fair enough. All right. and you haven't got fucked yet.
Not yet.
Interesting. So this is talking about, it's a little teaser about what's going on. So this week on Twitter, co-president of Marvel Entertainment, Louis Desposito, tweeted out a picture of Infinity Gauntlet cover from the OG Infinity Gauntlet comic book, where it has, it's an image that a lot of people saw when the vision of Thanos holding the Infinity Gauntlet with all the gems in it up is directly from that cover.
Right.
He's holding it up. In the picture they had of the cinematic universe, he wasn't laughing like he is in the cover of Gauntlet, but he has this like grimace on his face and he's holding it up and the beams of light are shining off the diamond, the gems and everything, and then you kind of go into it. So it's speculating people to think that that's what the storyline's based on. We kind of already knew that because the culmination. You know. But it's interesting because technically the first movie's called Avengers Infinity War, and that's the name of the second movie, or second book, not the first book. The first book was Infinity Gauntlet, which tells the story of Thanos collecting the gems to build the gauntlet. Then the second book is Infinity War, where they all have to, they, it comes to a culmination where everybody teams up to take on Thanos and his forces. So it's interesting that this is the first one. Obviously, Marvel Cinematic Universe has a drastic history of using the names from popular books, but skewing the story to be their own thing.
Right.
Winter Soldier, Civil War, Age of Ultron. They have elements from it, but they're really not the same story. So I mean, it's interesting to see if they're using that. But obviously, Infinity War being the first one is interesting because that's supposed to have where they introduce Captain Marvel for the first time, which has cosmic powers. You're supposed to have the team up of the two big teams, the Guardians and Avengers, are supposed to meet up and team up and fight, that sort of thing. So we still don't know the second title to the second the fourth Avengers movie, which is being shot back to back with this one. So they're shooting them together, mainly because they come out a year apart, right. Literally a year apart. May 4th, 2018 is Infinity War. The second, now, as of yet, untitled fourth Avengers movie will come out a year later, which is supposed to end cap, air quotes, end cap the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they're in. Because yeah. Everything else is supposed to come out within that time frame. So we'll see.
Is there a part of you that kind of wishes, like, that's just it after that, though?
There is. When I say that, I want an end to this story, like the one we're running on. But I don't want to see an end to Marvel movies. Obviously, it's not going to happen. I just don't. I think we talked about it once before. I would like to see them not have to tie them all together. No. Like, they could be in the same world. They can use all the same. But you don't have to have a major story that they're all kind of feeding into. Because right now, everything's feeding into these last two Avengers movies. No matter what, where you're at, you're feeding into it. People say, oh, it's not always true because, like, Ant-Man, nah, fam. Like, he got pushed into that fold.
Yeah.
The reason they focused and made a movie on him because eventually he's coming into the fold and be part of it. So that's why he's there. Obviously, like, things like Black Panther has a bigger role than anybody expected in Civil War. He's getting his own movie. But, like, even Doctor Strange, which doesn't have, is less cosmic and more mysterious or mystical, is tied into it as well because the Eye of Agamotto is the time gem. So it's all tied in together.
Is that
but
all of them now?
No, we need one more, I do believe.
Okay.
I think we've seen...
We got to do the homework on that.
Yeah.
Report back.
We've seen 6 of the 7, I think is what it is, or 5 of the 6. I can't remember
what
it is.
It's hard to track.
Man. Yeah. But
this
what's...
movie's been going on for so long.
It's like, I don't know what the mood ring. I think it's six. I want to say it's 6. Each knuckle in the top of the hand, I think. What it is.
5. Is there one on the thumb?
No, yeah. So there's these four, one on the thumb and then one on the thing. I can't pull up the picture, but I think there's one on the thumb too. But I would like to see them divert, like, use the Marvel name as more of like, hey, we're branching out. Because really, as we've seen right now, other than the stuff they don't have, they can't touch, Fantastic Four, X-Men, they've pretty much landed on a lot of the main, like the big ones that are there, in either the TV shows on Netflix or the movies themselves. But I would like to see six, right?
Yeah, so there is one on the thumb.
Okay, yeah, six.
Off to the side.
I could probably remember what they are, but I'm not going to. But I would like to see them kind of do some other stuff. But there's a lot of things in the Marvel world that kind of revolves around this, but like now they have Spider-Man, which we'll get to in a minute because it's the next story. They have access to anybody, it's free reign now, so anybody who hasn't been used previously can be used as long as they aren't tied to directly to a franchise or being used anywhere else. Like, they can't use the Silver Surfer, even though he's very big in the Infinity storyline. So that's out of there. The X-Men don't really tie too much into Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War too much. They're in it, but they're not like, there's like no real big presence for it. But like Doctor Strange is huge in it. Like Silver Surfer is big in it. Obviously the main cast of the Avengers are huge in it. Spider-Man himself isn't, but he obviously is going to be now in the cinematic universe. So it'll be interesting to see.
You think this big fight scene, like, where is that going to take place?
Good question. Because if it's not on Earth, where is it going to be, and how are the Avengers going to get there?
That's interesting.
I mean, Doctor Strange could technically move them, like, could bring them somewhere.
No.
But it'd be interesting. As Guardians, obviously, in the realms that they can go through, use the Rainbow Bridge to get anywhere in those too. So as long as he's in those ones, but yeah, they've yet to tell us the full roster of the movies yet. But it's known. I think it was like 67 different characters are involved in it, and they're introducing. Anybody who hasn't been introduced yet is going to be introduced in this first movie. So Captain Marvel will be introduced to it. The Inhumans will be part of it as well. We don't know where, because we just found out just recently, as you heard 2 weeks ago on the show. It is now being pushed as a TV show that's going to go to IMAX first and then go to everything. Speaking of IMAX on this topic.
IMAX.
This is going to be the first and second full movies fully shot on IMAX cameras for Marvel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fully shot.
Everything.
All right. So for those of you that might not know this, if you go and watch a movie in IMAX, it's kind of sneaky unless you're like hip to what they're doing. Like, they only film certain scenes with the IMAX camera, I guess. So some of the times you'll be watching the movie, and then on the slower parts of the movie, you're like, oh, this is just a regular movie. And then they do it very well. Like, they kind of like trick you in when like a big action scene comes in. You'll go to IMAX. You'll take up the full screen. So for somebody to actually have the balls to go all out and do two full feature lengths, all IMAX, like, that's crazy.
It doesn't happen a lot. There's a few movies that have done it. But the best example of awkwardly filmed, if you ever got a chance to see Dark Knight, the second Nolan Batman movie, in IMAX, the bank robbery scene, that was shot in IMAX. So when you watch it, it fills from the floor to the ceiling of the IMAX screen fully.
Yeah.
As soon as it switches out of that, it goes to having letterbox where it has the black bars on top and bottom. And then later on the, I want to say it's the, there's another scene in it too, right? Oh, no, it was in Bane. It was in the third one when Bane's doing the plane, he's kidnapping that dude. That same thing where it fills the screen. You go back to Gotham and it's letterbox again. So it was it's interesting to see. Star Trek did it, too.
Who did a great job with it? And it was not this last Mission Impossible, but the one before that.
The one with Brad Bird? Brad Bird's one? Four?
The one there in Saudi Arabia? Ghost Protocol?
Ghost Protocol, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That one was fucking nice. Like, the transitions were so smooth going in and out. Because, like, the one that, like, for some reason I notice it. Usually I don't notice these things, but building. It was done. Yeah, when he goes out over the building and it slowly, like, basically zooms out to IMAX as you're getting this, you know, hanging shot down, and it kind of really intensifies the moment of the scene. Like, you're so fucking high up. Oh, so good.
Yep.
IMAX is dope. IMAX have more is dope. IMAX theaters, dummies.
Yeah, no shit.
Harkins. I love Harkins, but come on, man.
And they own an IMAX theater. They don't own IMAX, but they own the biggest IMAX screen here in Arizona.
You gonna throw one out on the west side? Like, they just built a brand new, like, granted, I love that auditorium, the new Cinema One out here in Australia Falls. It's dope as shit. But, like, you could have done an IMAX, dude.
Yeah, it's big enough for sure.
Yeah.
It has Dolby Atmos, like,
sounds the best.
It's got to be a thing with licensing. That's the only thing. Well, even that, like, Cinema One doesn't even have 3D yet, which is fucking weird.
Nah. Makes sense, like, when it's they a large format, it, but it was like, come on.
It's like, come on, man.
Come on, old man Harkins, get your shit together.
Yeah, Dan motherfucking Hawkins. Get off that cup, get into the goddamn IMAX business. Speaking of IMAX, though, it has just been set recently, if you've seen anything in IMAX, they've been playing a promo for Transformers stuff. Transformers last night. Michael Bay, love him or hate him, he is, for the first time ever, taking two IMAX 3D cameras, or running them in 3D, so you get full true IMAX in 3D, which is insane.
That's pretty nuts.
Like, he's putting it on a rig, like he's driving on a car.
At least he pushes the limits. You know what I mean?
He's a like filmmaker for sure.
It's just his films have explosions.
Yeah, like he doesn't. He doesn't make Oscar. He's not driving to make Oscar driven anything other than the fact maybe like special effects.
He genuinely wants people to go to the movies and have a good time.
Yeah,
And he succeeds. You know,
and that's exactly what that promo's for.
90% of the time,
That's what the promo's for. He's thanking you for coming out to the theater to watch a movie because even though we've had really big blockbusters. The last few years, we've had less of them. Actually, in the last few years, we've had more of them because of the movies, the quality of movies coming out.
No.
But
it's on
still,
a downward.
It is on a downward still. Tick. It has a rise, but it definitely is not going as high as it was. Yeah. Obviously, movie theaters are getting more expensive to go, things like that.
But also, like, and this is not like shit's so easily available now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, me personally, I love going to the movie theaters, and I will watch any type of movie in a movie theater. If it's a movie I want to see, I'll go to the theaters to watch it. I'm trying to think. Hacksaw Ridge has some action to it, but, like, or even going back to, like, Chef. Chef is one of my favorite movies of all time. That movie doesn't need to be seen in a movie theater. But it was dope, so you go watch it. But most people are now kind of at that point where it's like, hey, you know, these kind of movies I'll go to a theater and watch, and these kind of movies I'll wait till they come out on iTunes. And so it kind of hurt the, how easy iTunes is and how good it looks and how good sound systems are at home now kind of fucked the movie theaters up a little bit.
Video on demand definitely cut into that quite a bit because
the quality of presentation. Now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, 15 years ago, TVs were fucking hot trash, man.
Yeah.
Like, you go back and if you can go back in time and watch, you know, everyone remembers like that one time you bought a new TV when you were a kid.
You're like, oh my god!
And you're like, this looks fucking amazing. That TV looks like shit. I promise you.
Yeah.
That TV looked like garbage. Now they're all good. Even garbage TVs are pretty solid pictures now. So, and how good that is, and how good in-home sound systems are now, kind of fucked up movie theaters. But it's still a fun experience. Like, I still love going to movie theaters.
I do. I enjoy. I prefer seeing movies on a big screen like that.
Yeah.
With that big audio, just because there's something about watching it on a screen that's just too big to be in somewhere you live. You know what I mean? Unless you're super rich, but obviously you can have that. I'm not there yet.
Not yet.
Bam, bam.
Weeks.
Two more. Damn. Right in time for Star Wars. Yeah. Come on, see Star Wars at Codyplex. I wouldn't call it Codyplex.
That's you would call it Codyplex.
I would. There's something about the visuals of it and also the sound, which Mike knows, and so does Joe, but Joe's not here to contest to it. I'm a really big stickler for audio. Like, I'll point out audio stuff, but also if audio is bad in a movie, I will be pissed.
Yeah.
If movie theaters have bad audio, I will be fucking angry.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it doesn't happen near as much because it's all digital now for the most
part.
There
is some where you went to. And you're like, man, I was fucking shitting me.
I will take my shoe off and beat a manager into submission for sure.
And
then I'll spit on him.
That's why I love the Cinema One because the sound system's so good in it. And I love great sound system. I can't really bitch much about bad sound system because I'm deaf in one ear. So kind of
deafish one
ear. Yeah. So it kind of fucks, like, I don't know if it was just me. or
I don't know, but the right sound of this theater does not sound that
you
good.
Guys suck.
Sound guy's not
But it's good. Definitely noticeable when you're in a badass sound system as opposed to being in just, like, a regular run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, one of my if Joe's here, have you been to the Carmikes out here for the IMAX yet?
Mm-mm.
Have we dragged you out to that? I know we saw Zootopia that way.
Yeah, but not an IMAX.
Yeah, we did.
Was it an IMAX?
Yeah, it was an IMAX, yeah.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. No, I won't. Thanks for the offer, though. Maybe later. It depends. Have to take a shower because you just took a disgusting
shit. Yeah.
Anyways, above the belt, yes. Below the belt, we're at the top. anyways, that's a joke. It doesn't matter. When we have seen several IMAX movies there, we saw Fantastic Beasts there just last week. And A, movie's fantastic. It's in the name. They got it right. And it's another one of those movies. We'll
they call it Pretty Good Beasts.
Yeah. Like, there's another thing about that movie title. That movie title has multiple uses for that movie, and we can get to that if you want to talk about it right now. But we're running out of time. We got time. But the thing about this one is they don't do a slideshow ahead of time. And so right when the movie's supposed to start, it just kicks into the IMAX preview thing. Where, like, this audio just punches you right in the fucking face, and you're like, fuck me. Like, your heart skips, like, at least two beats. Like, and that's not that's not good for us, because we're not healthy.
No.
Like, our hearts need all the fucking help they can get.
Sophomore year, Mike, that I saw earlier, sophomore he could Mike probably like, handle it.
Oh, bitches. But, yeah, like, it just hits you like a fucking audio freight train. You're just like, oh, and we went and saw it. The theater wasn't that packed. It was a Wednesday night, so it was obviously not going to be that busy. But, like, everyone's like, oh, shit. Like, everyone just kind of jumped because, like, you're only in the middle of a conversation. You forget what time it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, normally on a Harkins and an AMC, you have the slideshow going ahead of time showing you, blah, 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 you know, commercials, whatever. Yeah. And then it says, prepare for your feature presentation.
And there's, like, an intro, like a slow build intro music.
Nope, this is just, like, pa every time. And the worst part about it is there's no video to ease it. It's, like, the lights in the theater are up and just pa. All the power of IMAX audio just hits you, and you're just like, every fucking time. The worst part about it is we're sitting in there waiting about 10 minutes before it starts, and I'm like, hey, Joe, remember, it's going to do the audio thing. We got talking, and then pow, right in the fucking kisser. I was like,
it's like for people who've never been there, because I do remember what you're talking about now, because that one sucks. Have you ever been like on a road trip and you've had like your GPS on through Bluetooth, and it's been like, you know, 100 miles since it said anything? You're in the middle of a conversation, and all of a sudden, over the fucking loudspeaker of your car, it just tells you, in 20 miles, exit left, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ!
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
It's what it is.
Fucking horrifying, dude.
So yeah. So that was a fun one. So we'll go through. I have two more stories to go when we can hit a little bit on Fantastic Beasts. Post-production is hot and heavy on Spider-Man Homecoming with Marvel and Sony.
Post means
it's good, because that means they're doing their shits and they're getting everything, all the special effects taken care of. Movie is jam-packed with people already. We don't know.
Biggest star being Hannibal Buress.
Yes, Hannibal Buress is a main character. it has a lot going on. There's so many people in it like that you're going to recognize. It's going to be pretty dope. We don't know too much about it yet, other than the fact that we know Vulture is now a main villain in it, which is pretty dope. So it was a shocker. Again, not the sex move, but the bad guy. They brought Tom Holland in to do motion capture. So what this basically means is, if you saw Civil War, they CG animated Spider-Man's face for the goggles, obviously, because they retracted with the irises, but the movements of his mouth. So a big thing about mask wearers, and it was a big thing with Deadpool, is you want to see movement on the face.
Yeah.
So Deadpool, they animated the eyes, which was dope. Which is what everyone really wants when you're wearing a mask like that. And it's one of the reasons that Batman has never had those white eyes, goggle-looking things. They always have the really weird mascara'd eyes, so you can see him, because the emotions in the eyes give away a lot of the stuff, right?
Mm.
Well, if you have a full masked hero, Spider-Man, Deadpool, you lose that, because up until now, they were just big plastic eyeballs. The last two Spider-Man incarnations before this, Andrew Garfield and the what's his face emo Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, they were just plastic lenses, which gave you the look of Spider-Man but didn't give you the emotions of Spider-Man.
This, and we accepted it too,
and we did, because
we were like, oh, it doesn't matter, it's still dope.
Deadpool changed the game. They came along, you could see Ryan Reynolds' mouth moving behind the mask. He over exaggerated his words to do it. Then they animated the eyes. Civil War comes along, they do the same thing. They animate the eyes because they retract and move like Spider-Man, which is, gives you real no practical effects. They built it in saying, hey, it helps, you know, with the intensity of the light, blah, blah, blah. And then, but you got to see the movement of his mouth when he's talking. This is what this is going to do, so they can better gauge his facial movements. So he is going to go through and read through the lines he was doing in mass Spider-Man form, so they can reanimate the face. That way. So that's pretty rad. In the video, if you go to Instagram, John Watts, the director, he put it up on Instagram of a little video of you see Tom Holland in the as they call it, light booth, which is basically a light array that the cameras are pointed at. And then you see the screen that has the different camera angles on it and capturing his movements and stuff. And it's creepy because the visuals of seeing what the camera picks up used to be just lines and dots and stuff. Now it's a human face, but CG'd in real time. It's super creepy. So it's interesting to see that way. So it's pretty fun.
You remember watching the videos of like the first couple like sports games for the N64, yeah. And they're like, we're using mocap for the first time. They'd actually have like Kobe come in yep. in a mocap suit, and it was literally just a stick figure with dots along. Yeah. So you're like, oh, that's cool. He'll get like the arch of his back on a dunk, or how he throws those right hand back when he stands, you know, And then now it's just like, yeah, it's fully animated, ready to go right after, like, in real time.
Yep, in real time, yeah. It's pretty nuts. Actually, I only had one story.
All right, cool. Let's quick review.
Fantastic Beasts.
Well, multiple movies that we've seen.
And Moana, yep.
Yeah.
And then, Which one do you do first?
Let's do Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
I told Cody heading into this, I like the Harry Potter movies. I didn't fucking love them, you know. I thought they were cool. I thought they would get better as they got older a little bit, and they did get like darker, a little bit more grown up. But I was kind of hoping for a bigger jump on them. Not complaining about them. Still enjoyed them very much. I was much more excited about this movie than I ever was any Harry Potter movie, and it fucking delivered, dude. It was a lot of fun. Like it was super badass. And I forgot the guy's name. Not
Dan Fogel.
The big guy?
Yeah, Dan Fogel.
Yeah, so good in it.
Yeah, so amazing.
So, like not just was, like, you see the trailers, you know, like, you've seen this guy before, and he's always the goofball. You're like, oh, he's going to be the comedy in it. And, yeah, he was comedy in it. But, god damn it, that guy acted his ass off in this movie.
I think he's one of the biggest heartfelt parts of it, too.
Sure.
The ending, obviously, spoilers, it's not a good ending. It's a good ending for him, but not a great ending for him. But it's a great ending for him.
It was bullshit. I was mad.
Yeah,
it was I remember being upset. Like,
yeah, like, oh, like, why can't he fuck? Just let
one
him in.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen the movie, when you watch it, you'll understand. But fuck you, ending, because I was like, dude, he's saved your guys' ass. He has helped out so much. Let him rock with this shit.
Now, this brings up an Inception moment for me. Okay. So, spoilers. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry. I'm going to ruin it for you.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yep. Fuck you. When the sister goes to visit him at his bakery that he gets at the end, so just let you know, he gets his bakery. He sees her, she walks up, says hello, he reaches to where the bite mark was.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if her kiss didn't wipe his memory fully.
Yeah, that's what I got. Like, when he grabbed that, it was like, oh, there's something there. There's obviously something there.
Yeah,
it didn't. So it gave us hope. It was like, oh, he's, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, I was happy to see he got his, you know, his bakery in the bakery with, like, all the things about all the beasts that he had. That was cute. Funny.
Yeah.
But who was the girl that played his love interest? The one,
British lady, I think. Or Canadian. She's a Canadian one.
She is fucking fantastic, too. She's gorgeous. I had no idea who she was. But even outside of looks, because, like, every chick in a movie now is hot, but she was, like, very lovable. Like, when was the last time you watched a movie and you're like, oh, I love this girl? You know what I mean? Like, not like, oh, she's super hot. Like, Jesus, she's a sweetheart, dude, you know? But
bum, 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 bum.
Super dope. How they worked in Johnny Depp was not what I was expecting at all. I totally forgot homeboy the Flash was in it, the new Flash.
Queenie Goldstein, Allison Sudol. I'll talk about what.
Yeah, but Ezra Miller, right?
Ezra Miller, yeah.
Is the guy that's playing the Flash in the new movies. You've seen him a little bit already. I forgot, like when I was watching like the whole first half, when I'd see him, I'm like, fuck, do I know this
Credence,
kid for?
That was his fucking name. I was trying to remember. Credence, yeah, Credence.
I was like, I know this kid. I don't know what the fuck I know him from, but I know this kid. And then I was like, oh, shit, that's the Flash.
He's on the cusp of being like that. Like,
yeah,
big
he's
name.
About
like,
to be a big star.
People know his name, but only people who are like film people because yeah. he's been in a lot of like smaller stuff. He's been in big movies. He's not in big roles. Yeah, he's really good in this movie.
All like, these guys are good.
It was so good. Everyone was so good in this movie.
Everybody.
Everybody.
It's kind of fucking annoying how well everyone did in it. It was like everything. And it dealt with...
She's American. She's born in Seattle.
Was she?
Yeah. We got one.
Yeah,
we got one.
She was great, man. She
yeah,
was,
for sure.
She was fucking adorable. She was so, like, charismatic on the screen. But everyone was good. Colin Farrell did a great job. And spoiler, should you say it? Probably shouldn't say it, right?
What was that? Colin Farrell's Johnny Depp?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one? Are you?
I felt I had too much guilt, and I figured if I threw it out there, if you didn't do it,
I already told her to spoil it.
Yeah, but that's a thick one. So Colin Farrell is basically in a. Do you know the name for the spell? You might, because you're a fucking nerd. Is there a name for that spell?
There is. I can't really think of what it is though.
But you do know what it is, yeah. Huh? Yeah, you're a fucking nerd. So Colin Farrell is Johnny Depp's character. In disguise, basically, the whole time. So at the end, it reveals, they reveal himself, Revealus Optimo or whatever fucking
wow.
spell.
Wasn't even close.
You nerd ass bitches. And then, so Colin Farrell slowly turns into Johnny Depp.
First off, it was upsetting.
Johnny
you
Depp,
like me, but.
Johnny Depp plays what?
Grindelwald,
who Dumbledore has this big famous battle with, which is referenced in the Harry Potter movies.
And books, obviously.
And books, yeah. But that's referenced. So we know that this movie is a trilogy leading up to the battle between young Dumbledore and... Name again?
Grindelwald.
I'm never going to fucking...
No, you're not.
I don't know why. But Johnny Depp's wizard. and they're supposed to be... The two most powerful wizards in the world at that point, right?
Yes.
Like, so, and it's even debated, like, whether Voldemort or Harry Potter is even more powerful than them two in their prime. Like, so these are, when you talk about, obviously, the four, you got Johnny Depp's wizard, Dumbledore, Voldemort, and Harry Potter. Like, there's no, like, clear cut who was the most powerful one at all time, correct?
Not to split hairs, but in the Harry Potter world... Dumbledore is seen as the most powerful wizard because he can take down dark wizards who use death magic without using death magic.
Okay.
So he doesn't fall to the dark side, as they say, as you would say. Spoilers, if you don't know this or not, he defeats him.
Yeah.
So you know.
If he's in the Harry Potter movies, yeah, so he probably
boom.
Wins.
You probably figured out he
But I'm
wins
guessing
that.
He's going to lose fucking everybody. Like, that's
yeah,
that's how
yeah,
it's got to end
for
up,
sure.
right?
Yeah. Like, so, and we're not going to go into, like, the... We'll go into this more later when the movie comes closer, the second one. It is a prequel to the Harry Potter movies. This is planned out for... I want to say they planned out for 6 movies.
3. J.K. Rowling talking about it on Twitter.
Oh, is it 3? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's 6 movies in the Harry Potter world they're building, but 3 in
yeah.
Fantastic Beasts. Okay. So my whole thing about it was, A, blew my expectations out of the water. Like, David Yates came back. David Yates did a bunch of the Harry Potter movies. He did, like, 4 of the 7 or something like that. He blew this fucking thing out of the water. Like, he did such a good job. With this movie, is the story is cool because I didn't know going into it, I didn't know how they're gonna approach it. When you first saw it, you realize it was in America, the first trailer. But what's cool about this movie is the layers, like an onion, right? So, or like an ogre,
like Shrek, yeah.
Smelly ogres. So that's Harry Potter.
It's funny how we both went to.
No, right? Yeah. We're children. We're born children. It doesn't matter. The thing about this is like. There's multiple stories kind of like in this. Obviously, there's always in a good movie, there always is. But this one sets up its own little world, but builds on top of the world we already know from the Harry Potter movies. And obviously, people who read the books, which I have not yet, know more about it. But it's always that's always like kind of like this is in a way a Rogue One is compared to the Star Wars universe, because it has to do directly with the rest of it, but the story is encapsulated by itself. It has its own thing. Yes, it feeds into the main story that we know of Harry Potter, but it has its own set of new characters, new-ish characters, a new setting for the most part. I'm extrapolating from what I know about Rogue One.
Yeah.
But this has a new setting because it was in America. It was the characters they had themselves, they did such a good job of of telling you about them without having to have crazy backstories.
Man.
And then the best part about that is they didn't tell you everything. Like, there's so many more questions you want to know, because like, when he comes out of the suitcase inside the wizard meeting with all the heads of all the different areas, and like the one guy goes, "Oh, it's Commander," and then I was like, "No, that's the war hero." He's like, "No, that's his brother."
Yeah,
and I was like, "War hero? What?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?"
Because they briefly talk about the war,
yeah,
before, but then you don't know, like, yeah, obviously yeah. he's in somebody's shadow.
Yeah, it's like, well, he has a brother? Like, what?
And it feels like too, and I don't know. You might know some more of the background story because you read more about this stuff and you pay closer attention to it.
Of course,
but I feel like this movie, like the sequels, probably don't even really need the main cast at this point, outside of like a couple of them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like they haven't even gotten to Dumbledore yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like he's gonna be, by the time the third one rolls around, the main character, and it's gonna be like this weird like baton shift. Handoff,
and to, that's why I think the
new group,
the other three movies that are in planned in this expansion, the reason they're not Fantastic Beasts movies, because I think they're gonna go away from Scamander and go towards maybe a younger Dumbledore,
yeah,
and maybe more to the wizards of that time, of like the English half, you know, like building that, because there's a whole lot that's brought up in history wise during the Harry Potter movies, not just Voldemort being younger and being who he was before he became bad and stuff, but like the relationship of Harry's parents with I mean all of that, yeah. You have all of that ahead of everything else, plus with Harry Potter movies, when you got to Goblet of Fire, you saw there's other regions that have magicians, right? Yeah. There's other schools. Then in this one, you learn about how America's school is the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because they're like, oh, the best place to learn magic is you know, Hogwarts. And they're like, well, I mean, that's not true. I can't be right, you know? Hubris on the American's half, obviously. But it's cool because it's a different time. We don't even know what years the Harry Potter movies take place in. But really, if we look at the clothes, we can tell, because like, when they're not in the real world, it's modern clothing.
Yeah.
But like when you go to the Harry Potter world, when they go through the train station, everything's older and like, you know, just looks more majestic and stuff like that.
It's kind of timeless.
So like this, it's cool because this has its own feel to it. But then when they go to those magic places, it has this otherworldly feel. So it is, again, timeless in its own. My whole thing about this movie is the title, because the title has multiple meanings within the movie itself.
But please explain, sir.
So the movie is called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The premise of the movie is Scamander goes to America under the guise of trying to find this certain fantastic beast to give somebody as a present, right? Meaning number one.
Mm.
True meaning is what he's really there for, you find out, is to put a fantastic beast somewhere, but also he's just came from a place where he found the most fantastic beast, which is the little girl who died, and he captured her. I can't think of the name of the thing it turns into. So that's another meaning, right? Then you have the hidden world of the wizards within the city. So it's you have to know where to find them and their fantastic beasts themselves. Meaning number three, and then the fourth one's a fun one, which is when you go to Dude's bakery at the end, all his pastries look like Fantastic Beasts, and that's the only place you can go to find them.
Nope.
Boom. Four meanings. I probably missed a couple in there too. But
Cody's
throwing
magic at them, motherfuckers.
Yeah. But my favorite thing about this movie is the fact that they use magic openly.
Yeah.
It was
and they
a thing.
Had the fucking the Men in Black brainwashing thing, basically.
Yeah. Yep. And so like it's the nice thing about the Harry Potter movies is obviously you're watching these kids grow up to be wizards. The cool thing about this movie is they're motherfucking wizards. So they're just throwing wizard dicks everywhere at once. Just like, but also
actual wizard dick.
Yeah, wizard dick, literally wizard dick. Like, they're like wizard dick. The other thing about this movie though, and I brought this up, the amount of death, on screen death, in this fucking movie is unbelievable. But also the intent of on screen death when they're putting her in the weird sauna of doom in that chair. Oh, fucking terrifying.
Frightening.
At first I'm like, why is there a chair above a pond, like it's disgusting water, right? Dude, then the weird that shit metallic got intense. I was like, oh bitch.
You guys remember and it's on a different scale, but you remember like the first time you watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? And you get to the boat scene, and you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Super intense,
why
right?
is this happening? Same thing. Like, there's been dark, intense shit happening in this movie, but then all of a sudden you put them in this basically wizard electric chair where, like, all your dark fucking feelings and emotions and memories come up to basically eat you alive. It's fucking terrifying,
dude. And she was like, the worst part of that is she's so blissful.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, this is brutal. I was like, are they going to kill her?
I thought so.
I was like, dang, Newt ain't going to get none? And he didn't get any none. He got some future and some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, dang.
But just, I mean, J.K. Rowling's like foresight, like that bit, like, which book was it?
Which,
or movie?
Get it? Which book? Because it's about witches and it's a book.
What year... movie book did the book get thrown out, the Fantastic Beasts?
2001.
No, but like what episode? I was gonna say like Star Wars. I got Star Wars on my. Which part of the movie did they tell him, like, when the Fantastic Beasts and where to find them, was it something he had to study? So it was the first movie, second
first movie.
Was it the first one?
One
so it was
the
very first one. So we go through an entire fucking 8-movie run.
Yep.
Of things, and the spinoff from that is not Harry's parents, like you would think. It's not, you know, it's not directly young Voldemort.
It's not Hogwarts 10 years ago.
Yeah,
whatever,
and it's not fully grown Harry is a fully badass wizard, has to fight new something. It's hey, remember this book that was almost just a throwaway line? We're going to tell the story about how this guy wrote this book.
Yep.
Like, it's so cool. To go back and, like, because now you're like, fuck, what else has, like, a crazy rich history behind it? And it kind of gets you more involved into the Harry Potter world. She's creating this enormous legacy for herself. If she hadn't already done it with the books alone, then with the movies, it brought it to a whole new crowd. And now she's going to tie shit for the next fucking 20 years into those original books and movies.
Yep.
And so in 20 years from now, somebody's going to be like, oh, what's that new, you know, wizard movie that's coming out, whatever they call it. And it will have some fucking connection to the original 8 books or original 7 books. And she's a fucking genius, dude. She's a mastermind. And she's going to be rich forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, people always have the correlation of Star Wars in it. It's like light and dark, blah, blah, blah. But it's like she didn't have to wait 30 years to do new ones. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't have to wait to do the prequels because, I mean, that's literally what happened.
Yeah.
The thing about this is like she has this world that she already has built on. And it reminds me of like that throwaway line that everyone never paid attention to in A New Hope when Luke is talking to Obi-Wan, old Obi-Wan, and he says, yeah, your father fought in the Clone Wars. Then it goes right past that. The kid in me never even paid attention to it. It was like just something that someone said, right?
Later on,
I was like, what the fuck is the Clone Wars? There's nothing on it. Like, there's no books, no nothing. Obviously, you get the prequels to talk about it and the cartoons.
Yeah.
And then you know more about it.
But you're talking 25 years later?
So this is doing the same thing. Like, there's little things that in the Harry Potter movies that they talk about that kind of stem to things that happen in Fantastic Beasts. But then there's that throwaway line about the war. And you're like, what war? Like, what are you talking about? How can there be war heroes And then the fact that Scamander fought in the war.
That wizards are fighting in the war.
And it's like...
And because when everyone else references it, you're thinking World War...
One.
One?
Yeah. Because it says 40. Yeah.
So World War One, and you're like, oh, you know, because, yeah, that would affect these people in this world. But then you're like, you realize, like, wizards are fighting in this war. You're like, oh, shit. Like...
Yeah, it's like, what?
That brings a whole new weird element to it. Yeah. And so now, like, again... In 20 fucking years, that's probably when she's going to write this movie
like,
about the fucking World War fucking Wizard War, you know? So, yeah, she's cranking shit up.
Yeah, it's so good. So I'm so glad it was really good, too.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they knew they had something because, yes, they had plans for 3 movies from the Fantasy Beasts realm. But, like, months before the movie came out, they're like, oh, we greenlit 2. I'm like...
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, like, and then, like, a week before, like, oh, by the way, Johnny Depp's in it.
Yeah.
Like, actually in it.
Yeah. Not like, oh, he's in a stinger tag. Like, no, he's in the movie. He gets lines.
Technically twice.
Yeah. And then he's the main bad guy going forward.
Yeah, it was like, it was funny. I was talking to one of my friends who reads the book. And this would be my last point about it. I'll be going to the last one so we can end. I haven't read the books, so all I know about the Horcruxes is what's done in the movies. But when Colin Farrell's character gives Ezra Miller credence, the Horcrux, and says, touch this, and wherever you are, I'll come find you, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This shit's all tangled up.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh. It's nuts. It's a crazy fucking intertwined world.
Yeah.
So much fun, though.
So much fun. Like, this movie should be what you get after a very successful franchise to further along.
This is how you do spinoffs.
Yeah.
You know
this
mean?
Is how you, like, do spinoffs that aren't spinoffs. You know what I mean? Like, they're tied into their, you know?
Yeah, you give a little bit, you know, you throw enough. You like a name drop Dumbledore. You name drop Hogwarts. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
you tickle the balls enough to where we're familiar with it, but like you jerk off with like a cucumber. You know what I mean? Like it's still, yes, you still come, but you don't know it's very strange. Is that a bad analogy?
It's not the best analogy.
Yeah, whatever. We'll go with it. You microwave it first, obviously.
Oh, then it's a great analogy.
Slimy but firm. sorry. But the other thing, too, is I'm just hoping, again, we said this when episode 7 was coming out, fingers crossed, that Rogue One is as good as this is to the Star Wars franchise as Fantasy was to the Harry Potters. Like, I have faith in Gareth Edwards, and I obviously have faith in Disney and Lucas because they wouldn't have gone this far with something. They never do. Like, they just don't. When it has something so much passion and love for it, they just don't let that happen. But it'll be interesting to see. But I really hope that it is the same aspect. Last thing we'll talk about before we wrap up for the day. Moana, the new Disney animated movie.
Thumbs up.
Fuck yeah, it's a thumbs up. Like, 2 thumbs up.
It was, not only was it gorgeous, because obviously the animation just gets better and better.
The water.
And then, you're dealing with
it's the skin. The skin
live
and hair.
Water. Yeah.
The skin and hair blew my mind.
Yeah.
The hair was amazing.
Yeah.
And I remember them talking on Zootopia, the difference between when they went from Tangled to Frozen to Zootopia, the amount of hair they, like, follicles they would change.
Oh, yeah.
This had to have been more than that, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're dealing with Zootopia, you're dealing with creatures that are covered from foot to head in hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this had aspects that were so drastically different. Pulled back, upright, long, shaggy, wet. Blew my mind.
Yeah.
When, like, parts of hair would stick, but the rest would be away, I was like, this person's real.
Yeah.
They've created real animated them. People. This is Roger Rabbit in real life. They're out there.
So, again, not only was the animation fantastic, it was just super fun, man.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of fun. It was hilarious. The and it wasn't a... like, going into this, you know, obviously The Rock is kind of like this big momentum machine right now that is just not fucking slowing down at all.
No.
But, and like, yeah, he's kind of a scene stealer. Like, you love his character. But he's not the main character, dude. That girl holds up.
Yeah,
dude.
So good.
She's so good.
First performance ever.
Yeah.
First movie ever.
Yeah.
And it's a voice acting thing, which has got to be tough.
She's going to be a huge star. Because
so good.
You see her in all the advertisement stuff, and she's sweet. She's charming. She's, you know, she has that look that obviously they're going to throw her into fucking real movies now. And she's got a huge credit under her name now. So yeah. She's going to be a fucking monster star, like real quick. And then it was just fun. Like, and the music was not annoying as shit.
Yeah. The other thing, too, about it was, on the music note, they did a really good job. I mean, I can't speak completely to Hawaiian culture by any means. Yeah. But they did a great job, I feel, capturing.
Well, look at the cast.
Well, yes, I mean, that's what you know what I mean. They have people in it, but like, I felt like I was learning a little bit about what it was like. I mean, obviously, not completely. Like,
did you realize it was Django?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How dope was that? That was pretty dope.
But like,
Disney,
so funny. But like the like when they're doing the Hawaiian dances and everything, and like it was like, oh, it's so dope.
Oh, at the very end where the rock thing or Maui thinks he's about to fucking die and he's going to go out and battle against that fucking lava monster thing.
Yep.
How intense was that fucking war cry he was doing, dude?
Yeah, it was so good.
Ugh. Spoiler, he doesn't die. He makes it.
What?
Yes.
Yes. And the best part about this was it wasn't a huge downer.
No.
And that's been a lot of what the Disney ones have been. Like, so Frozen, Tangled, Zootopia, Big Hero 6, Wreck-It Ralph. There's that moment of you know, doubtness and low. But yeah, it's not like you watch your favorite fucking, fantasy creature, invisible friend die, bing bong, of a horrible death. Oh, there you go.
I got him. To bring it up.
I had to, but you don't have that.
Oddly, stare at my phone
with tears. But you don't have that in these as much. You know what I mean? But they're like this one though was pretty heartfelt without having to have that sad moment in it. Grandma dying was a bit rough, but not like, you know.
But she was.
You don't want.
You kind of know it's coming.
She tells you too, like in it. She's like, when I die,
it's emotional, but instantly you see her reincarnated, basically.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, let's do this. That's the part that almost got me.
It got me.
And I will admit to crying like a bitch in a lot of movies, even movies I shouldn't be crying in anymore.
True.
Because I'm a big old fucking pansy. But this one didn't get me, and it's not a knock on it. It's just. It's a family movie. It's a good family movie. It's sad. It was kind of adorable. I was sitting on the edge, Jen to my right, and to the right of her was a little girl with her mom to the right of her. Grandma dies. This little girl is fucking sobbing, and I felt so bad for her. I was just like, I was looking at her mom. I was like, fucking hold her. God damn it. Why are you letting her cry?
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. Faux show, like, yeah, it was so good.
It was dope. Real quick, too, Hacksaw Ridge didn't do great business. It's a good movie. It's gonna find its audience.
I think we talked this not on the show, but before, on our own time. It's one of those movies where it didn't appeal to me to see it in theaters, and I think that's the majority of people because it has that. Well, first off. People saw Mel Gibson, and they're like, "Oh, automatic! Like, I don't want to see."
There are some people who are like,
"Because that's just," and he's done that. And no, it's not a knock on him. I like Mel Gibson and pretty much everything.
Yeah, but when you're an alcoholic and you say crazy racist shit, like,
people
you're gonna
tend to remember it. Remember it for the bad things. You know what I mean? You smack one tranny hooker, but like, not that he did that. I'm just saying.
That's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I know. he was after things, but. That was one of those movies where I just think when it hits VOD and home video,
it was one of those ones where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but it was like, we're free. We had some time. We're going to go watch it. I liked it so much. I was like, oh, this is so good.
Everyone I know that's seen it has enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. And then I forgot that it is a rated R Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
And there's going to be body parts. So, yeah, when it gets gory, it gets fucking gory, dude. And you're like, oh, shit, that's right. I forgot. You did the Patriot. I forgot. This is also you.
You did Passion of the Christ where like they get the cat of nine tails stuck in him and pull away. To Jesus, by the way. To Jesus.
Yeah.
They whip Jesus mercifully.
Yeah. So they don't give a fuck about Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield? Fuck that guy. He couldn't be goddamn Spider-Man. That's low blow.
I did cry during Hacksaw Ridge.
I heard it is super sad, though.
It's rough.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Boom.
About it.
That's it.
We went long. We gave you some extra.
Yeah. Some extra. Well, I gave you some extra mic.
Yeah, man.
Mike hadn't been here for a long time. It was a lot.
Yeah, I'm basically on a fucking every other schedule right now. I'm trying to get that fixed, but shit's
fucking
just not
cooperating. Bullshit.
Grown-up jobs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not working out.
So, yeah, that's it for this week. It comes naturally. We are...
Mike.
I am Cody. That space again was for Joe. Get well, buddy. And as usual...
See you soon, buddy.
You fucks just came naturally.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Meh, meh.